Americans would be well served to not forget the Dust Bowl years of the 1930s, and while that period is remembered for its disastrous impacts on nature and families, its legacy is a commitment to ensuring such calamity will never happen again. In Ohio and around the nation, soil and water conservation districts and their farmer cooperators are the boots on the ground in protecting natural resources. And today at their 75th anniversary convention, we are proud to help tell their story on Town Hall Ohio.
This is Town Hall Ohio, home to interesting people, engaging issues, and enlightening stories. Town Hall Ohio is a production of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation, working to forge a partnership between farmers and consumers, and is supported by Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Now, here's Town Hall Ohio host, Joe Corneli.
For most farmers I know, one reason they love to do what they do is the chance to work with Mother Nature. And most will tell you that the opportunity comes with a responsibility to assure that our natural resources are protected for future generations. A system for accomplishing that goal was created some 75 years ago with the creation of soil and water conservation districts. And this year, the Ohio Federation of Soil and Water Conservation Districts is celebrating 75 years of getting the job done. We are taping live today at the Federation's 75th annual meeting, and we have quite a few folks lined up today to help tell the great story. But first of all, thank you all at Soil and Water for inviting Town Hall Ohio to be here today. So to help us celebrate the 75th anniversary, we want to first of all take a little bit of a look back. Not that any of you guys at the podium here with me today were here 75 years ago, but in any case, we're going to take a little bit of a look back at where all of this began. Joining me right now is the past president of the Ohio Federation of Soil and Water Conservation Districts, Steve Robinson. Steve is in Union County, right, Steve? From the Ohio Department of Agriculture, Rob Hamilton on with us, and the first vice president of the Ohio Federation from up in Williams County, Bob Short. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. Steve, I'm going to maybe start with you. If I ask you to tell your kids or your grandkids about soil and water conservation districts and their history and their importance, where would you start?
Well, Joe, I think you got to start at the beginning. I got a couple ways to say that. One's the bureaucratic proper way, and then the one that's the way that it, you know, it really is.
Well, we can edit, so do whatever you want.
But the proper way is a political subdivision of the state of Ohio, created by local petition at a hearing with Soil Conservation Commission and a referendum vote in the county. Authorities of districts and SWCD board specified in the Ohio Revised Code, and five supervisors were elected for 3-year terms. We also had a memorandum of understanding with USDA and NRCS for assistance. The realistic answer was, it's local self-government is best. We're locally led supervisors, and we're aware of the community needs. We have local credibility, and we have the ability to secure state, county, township, municipal funds beyond what came with the NRCS, or at that time, SCS capacity.
So, Bob, how about your take on what a soil and water district is at its heart, not the bureaucratic answer that Steve helped us understand. I mean, people need to know that, but what do you really do?
If I was explaining to the kids, a soil and water district is a group of people that are dedicated to taking care of the land. And what we do is we oversee technical practices and we work with partnership agencies to make sure that we preserve the land that we're given for us and for the kids, the grandkids, and future generations.
Rob, I don't know if you're an official historian or not, but I know you've looked back somewhat at the history of soil and water districts. What did you find interesting as you were looking into history?
Well, Joe, I think one of the things that we found actually in celebrating the 75th this year is we've really have learned a lot about the past. And I guess one of the things that I appreciate is just kind of how brilliant the whole system was set up from the very beginning. You know, when you stop and think about was formed from the Dust Bowl and USDA, and those early leaders really recognizing that there was a need to have a grassroots effort back in the 30s and the 40s to get conservation on the land. And to me, that was one of the things that I just found very, very fascinating, and still, you know, plays true today as well. That you know, we have an organization that's 440 supervisors strong, close to 500 local staff, and numerous other partners that you know, help make the organization what it is today. And that was founded upon from the very beginning on how the structure is set up.
Any, I'll throw this out to all of you, any particular individuals that you knew or you learned about as you were looking at the 75th anniversary that were especially important to the effort here in Ohio? Bob, go ahead.
Well, got my notes here. Some of the federal people were Hugh Bennett, the chief of the Soil Conservation Service, M.L. Wilson, director of the Federal Cooperative Extension Service, and Phil Glick, who was legal counsel in the USA. And they recognized the need, and they were instrumental in setting up the initial structure of the initial Soil Conservation Service.
Yeah, and Joe, I think here in Ohio, you know, when we look back, certainly I think from our department standpoint, we'd have to look back to Floyd Heft, you know, was really the first employee in the state of Ohio that, you know, I had the opportunity to meet him once, and I know that from past colleagues, I've heard stories of him, of just his fiery passion for conservation in Ohio. And I think he set some direction that we still have today within our organization and the partnership.
From the district side, Joe, in 1942, Highland, Clark, Butler, Columbiana, Catoctin, Guernsey, Monroe, Morrow, Noble, and Tuscarora were the very first counties created, 1942. Highland was the first district, the actual first, and by the end of the 40s, we had 79 of the 88 online. Another person I think that was important, Alan Craig of Clark County, was the very first president of the Ohio Federation. Highland, Clark, and Butler SWCDs met to create the Federation in 1943.
And you know, the most important, or I missed, most impressive part of that list you mentioned is you could pronounce Tuscarawas County. I thought that was great.
Thank you.
So you guys named some pretty famous people. But what about, I was going to say infamous, that's not right, but the people who not necessarily were famous but stirred your passion? I mean, you guys could be involved in any number of organizations. You've got families, you've got businesses and farms to run, you've got work to do, and yet you give up time as volunteers in Soil and Water. Steve, who got you started? Who lit that fire for you?
Well, that's pretty easy for me. That was Clarence Durbin. Clarence was a national president at the time that I was asked to serve on my local board. We both came from the same county. I sat in there as an associate supervisor, listening to some of the stories and hearing Clarence talk about sitting in the chief's office in D.C., and just couldn't imagine how that was even possible. And the work that he did and just being a part of that is what really spurred me to want to be a part of it.
Bob, what's your story? What sucked you into this?
Well, you know, I was walking down the midway at the fair one day, and one of the supervisors on the board hollered out at me and said, "Hey, are you interested in being on the Soil and Water Board? One meeting a month. That's all
required."
Yeah,
one meeting a month.
You know,
some knowing nods in the room here.
But you know, getting involved in it, being a farmer, and being out there, and There's a certain sense when you're going across that field, you just get involved in it, and you want to take care of it. And being involved in the district at the district level, and then as an area director, and now as an officer on the Federation, you go out there across the field, and you think, when you think back at the farming practices that we used to have, I mean, my dad, you worked the ground four times before you planted it. It didn't matter how long it took or what the conditions were, you know. And now
and if you made 100 bushels, you had a good year.
You bet. You bet. 100 bushel was a bumper crop of corn. But it's just amazing through the technology advancements that we've had. Things are, I don't know, it's necessarily getting easier for us, but we've been able to produce so much more on the same amount of ground that we had back in the 30s, you know, and it's pretty amazing. But we need to constantly look back at our history, because if we didn't learn anything from that, we're destined to repeat it.
Well, it's nice of you to mention that, because we're going to talk about some of the issues that soil and water districts and conservationists have had to deal with over the years, and some of the more current ones too. That'll come up a little bit later in the show. But Rob, maybe we talked about some of the people. Let's talk about some of the circumstances. What were big things that over its first 75 years, this federation and the soil and water districts and the cooperators, what were some of the biggies that they had to tackle?
Well, sure. Well, Joe, I think really where it got started, you know, it's hard to think about back in what the land was like back in the 30s, you know, during the Dust Bowl. And, you know, you hear of that windblown dust from Texas, from Oklahoma, making its way to Washington, D.C., and to think about the soil erosion that we had across the United States, and in particular, you know, here in Ohio, which was, I'm sure, you know, as we look back in history and read some of the stories of the founders, you know, they talk about, you know, erosion deep enough to, you know, that's gullies 8-10 foot deep across Ohio's landscape. So, you know, certainly, first and foremost, erosion control from the very beginning was the primary focus. But you think of how soil and water conservation districts have adapted over time, you know, throughout the decades, as we've got a handle on soil erosion, we've moved into nutrient management, we've moved into agricultural drainage and putting in the needed conservation practices.
Steve, any thoughts on some of the biggies that kind of set the stage for where we are today?
Well, you know, Joe, the thing that always amazed me, and Rob touched on it, was, you know, Hugh Hammond Bennett being before Congress. How do you know that dust storm was coming in 1930? I mean, that just amazes me that it happened while he was there talking, and that's when we got established as soil and water conservation districts. I mean, I've always been kind of fascinated with that, just that little fact.
Bob, any quick thoughts? We've got about 30 seconds here.
Okay. The thing that intrigues me is, you know, the Dust Bowl, it was nationwide. You know, everybody had issues, and everybody was looking for somebody to take care of it. And it took a huge event like that to get everybody together to come up with a solution, and ultimately the solution came from the people on the local level.
Yeah, it got fixed by the people, just like the people in this room.
Exactly.
Want to thank our guests, because we're going to swap out some guests here, but again with us, Steve Robinson, past president of the Soil and Water Districts, Rob Hamilton from the Ohio Department of Agriculture, and Soil and Water's first vice president, Bob Short. Thanks for joining us today, guys.
Gotta turn this world around, plant new seeds in the ground, gotta give it all we're worth for planting it up. This is our declaration of a whole new family, a conservation nation. Starts with you and me, a conservation nation. Ooh, a conservation nation.
Welcome back to Town Hall, Ohio. We are recording in front of millions of people attending the maybe not quite millions, but a bunch of good folks from all over Ohio in attendance at the 75th anniversary meeting of the Ohio Federation of Soil and Water Conservation Districts. And we certainly appreciate being invited to be here and the opportunity to help share the story of saving soil and water across the state of Ohio. Three new guests with us here on Town Hall, Ohio. We're going to be talking a little bit about conservation today. Our previous guest helped us look back at some of the first things, big things of the first 75 years. With us at the podium today is the past president of the Ohio Federation of Soil and Water Conservation Districts, Chris Swartz. I said the one of the past presidents. Chris, welcome to the show. Chris is up in the Wood County area. Kirk Hines joins us from the Ohio Department of Agriculture. He's the chief of the Division of Soil and Water Conservation. Did I get that right, Kirk?
You did.
Okay,
sounds
good.
Great.
And a gentleman who I probably know as well as any of our guests today, Terry Cosby, the state conservationist for the Natural Resources Conservation Service of the U.S. Department of Agriculture. So, gentlemen, welcome to Town Hall, Ohio. Chris, I'm going to start with you here. We spent some time looking back. As you look at the evolution of soil and water preservation in Ohio and the districts themselves, share your thoughts with our listeners on how we've kind of gotten to where we are and where we are now.
Well, we've gotten where we're at. We've always had a great partnership, the three-way agreement between the state, the federal agencies, the NRCS, and our federation. That partnership really works well right now. I mean, I can't tell you how good these three agencies work together and blend together. You know, we're changing a little bit because we're getting some other partners coming in to help us out. We're getting some of the non-governmentals, the TNCs, the Nature Conservancy, and those things coming in with us. And I think we all are appreciative of their efforts and helping us out in our goals.
Kirk, one of the pieces of that evolution that Chris mentioned, back in the day when I was hanging out with the soil and water folks a lot more than I have the chance to do now, soil and water was a function of the Department of Natural Resources and now over at ODA. Tell us a little bit about why that change took place.
Yeah, Joe, I think it's just really to bring all nutrients into one area. So looking at agriculture and trying to get everything into one shop and try to look out at producers and to simplify things as well as to be able to handle different situations with them.
Terry, there's an old joke about the three greatest lies are, one of them, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. But I can't help but comment that in my 40 years of watching this, in this space, in this conservation space, it's exactly like Chris said. It's not you dictating, it's you working with the farmers on the ground. That's not the way most people see government functioning. Why does it work so well in this space?
Well, I think just coming into Ohio about 13 years ago, you know, these folks, they opened their arms up to me, and it's been a great partnership. And I think it started from my background, working with my dad on the farm. And that has helped us here in Ohio because there's a lot of trust among the partnerships. We've been able to sit down and talk about conservation issues and conservation needs, and we've been solving those. And so I see a bright future for the conservation partnership here in Ohio.
I think why everything's working well is that all three agencies believe at the core the local led aspect. You know, Terry, obviously he comes from the federal government, but he is always, that's his priority. What serves you at the local level? ODA is the same way. Our local led roots, I mean, that's what we were built on. And you know, the previous guys talked about, you know, the founding fathers, they were brilliant when they, local-led voluntary conservation is ultimately the most efficient way we're going to get practices done.
Yeah, Joe, and the other thing is we talk about all the change. And so in 75 years, we've seen tremendous change. But the things that haven't changed is what's out in this room. And that's the 440 supervisors. And it's really amazing to me that after 75 years, we're still operating a similar way there. And that's very effective and continues to be so.
So the supervisors run the show, but there are staffs that are a part of getting the work done. It's the same with any organization. How have your staffing changes, staffing needs changed over the years?
Well, we do a lot more than we used to. You know, we used to have just technicians. Now we have educators. We have urban storm specialists. You know, we're doing pollinators now. You know, who would have thought we would have been doing pollinators 20 years ago? We have wildlife specialists. Our demands are way greater, and our expertise is greater, and our knowledge base in our district office is way greater. We have great staffs. Proudest thing for me is when people walk into our offices, they don't know whether our staff is a local person, a state person, or a federal person.
you know, they don't know, they blend seamlessly, and that is a compliment to these guys right here, that their staffs just blend in with our local people perfectly.
Terry, as you look at the staffing level at the federal level, or the staffing situation, part of USDA is run by a political appointment, so that was the long way of saying you've served in this capacity and worked for NRCS through a variety of administrations, R's and D's and Southerners and Midwesterners and such. How have you had to adjust to staffing and funding?
Hey, I've always worked for some great folks, so let's get that out there. They've all been great. But, you know, we've had to make some adjustments, and I think what you're seeing now is that we're going to have to make more adjustments. And it takes the partnership to get all this done. Probably going to be mean and lean, but we're going to have folks out there. It takes all of us to get this work done, and I think that's one of the beauties about Ohio is that we've all worked together to do that.
We'll be back to talk more with Chris Kirk and Terry on Town Hall Ohio right after this.
Proper rotation and the proper irrigation, we can stop our soil from washing down the drain. We can increase reforestation and reduce the conflagrations that are burning up the trees that do remain. If we study conservation and practice conservation, there's no doubt that it will keep our nation strong. It's my earnest observation that the entire population join the chorus of the conservation song.
So in case you're wondering, that was a radio tune from back in, I think, the late 30s or early 40s, as all of that work to bring people up to speed on the need to employ conservation on their farms was used. So way back when, radio was a tool to help share the message. We are broadcasting live today from, we're taping live from the 75th anniversary convention of the Ohio Federation of Soil and Water Conservation Districts, an organization that represents soil and water leaders and cooperators in all 88 counties of the state of Ohio. And we're spending a little time talking about some of the things that are going on in the conservation space today. Helping us tell the story, a past president of Soil and Water is Chris Schwartz from up in Wood County. Kirk Hines is with the Ohio Department of Agriculture, and Terry Cosby is the state conservationist for USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service. So back in the 80s, we spent an awful lot of time preventing erosion. And guys like you, Chris, that farm, and the other farmers in this room, we were looking at research from the university that says, okay, this is the advantage of conservation tillage or no tillage. You jump ahead to 2018, and we still want to protect our soil, but there's a brand new issue that has really moved to the forefront of conservation, and that's protecting water. Talk a little bit about that mix between farming and making sure the water in Lake Erie or Grand Lake or the Scioto River or Ohio River stays drinkable.
You know, if we look back in the 80s, I was starting to farm, and erosion was a big thing. Also, you know, we had a terrible farm economy, and no-till came in, and that kind of solved a lot of problems for us. You know, it solved the same thing. It took care of the erosion problem. It was a more efficient way to farm. It helped us out. It was a clear-cut way to fix the problem. The water quality is way more difficult. It's a longer-term fix. The solutions aren't always quite as clear. We're working at it hard. I think everybody in this room knows that farming is a long-term proposition. We're in it for the long haul, and we know what we do today a lot of times doesn't have effects for 3 or 4 or 5 years down the road. But our people that are looking to us to solve the problem don't quite have that same long-term view, and that's really our challenge right now.
Terry, one of the points I make when I get a chance to is, and this is an oversimplification, but those things that we started doing in the 80s that Chris just mentioned were based on the best science available. And now we're learning, and again, oversimplifying here, but we're learning that some of the things that farmers were recommended to do in the 80s might be a piece of what's causing our problems today, correct?
And I think that as things have changed since the 80s, you know, I was in Iowa during that time, and in 85 we talk about a farm bill and we talk about all the things that we did during that time, and now we go forward. And I think you can see with the changes in the names of our agency from Soil Erosion Service to Soil Conservation Service, now to Natural Resource Conservation Service, that encompasses everything that we're trying to do from soil and water. And I think with all the research, and ARS does a lot of our research, and that's how we get our business done, but everybody's doing research now. And so we have to figure out with that research, what is it telling us? And we have to come to a, you know, at some point, come to a conclusion that this is what it's going to take to fix it. But yeah, water is another big issue that we're trying, you know, to get our arms around.
As Kirk, as I talk to farmers, one of their biggest frustrations is the one that that Chris mentioned, is this perception. And frankly, it's a perception that's created by people who may have a different agenda than what many of us in this room have. This perception that we can just flip a switch and make these algal blooms in Lake Erie disappear overnight. Do you get that sense too, that people don't quite understand that this is not a flip the switch solution? There are no flip the switch solutions.
Yeah, and I think as we look back in time, and so whether it be no-till or some of the other practices we've done, Joe, it does take time. So it may take a decade to see those things implemented. So I think we're learning a lot. We know that some practices are going to be effective, but we also realize that it's going to take time for that all to come into play. So, you know, we've done a lot of education, so whether it's 18,000 people are now certified for fertilizer certification, those sort of things, but it just does take time for things to change and for improvements to be made.
Have you looked in your crystal ball here a little bit, Chris? Water is where we are now, but other issues that may be coming on the forefront that you think farmers, landowners, conservationists are going to need to be paying attention to, or we got our bowl full with water?
Exactly, Joe. I think right now we are so focused on water that, and it's such a big issue, it's going to be hard to get our arms around it, but it's kind of encompassing our whole organization right now, and we're just trying not to let it take everything we have, but it's big.
I want to say a big thank you to our panelists who've been with us for a little while here today. Chris Swartz, a past president of the Ohio Federation of Soil and Water Conservation Districts, Kirk Hines of the Ohio Department of Agriculture, and Terry Cosby, state conservationist for NRCS. We'll be back with more Town Hall Ohio in a moment. Welcome back. We are broadcasting live from the 75th anniversary convention of the Ohio Federation of Soil and Water Conservation Districts. I hope you've had a chance to be with us through the course of the show. You've heard a lot of fascinating conversation about how the soil and water conservation movement got started in Ohio and across the nation and where we are today. And over the next couple of minutes on the show, we're going to talk about not just where we are today, but where we might be headed in the future. Three new guests joining us right now for our next couple of segments of the show, from the Ohio Association of Soil and Water Conservation Districts employee. That's an association, right, Nikki?
Right.
That association, their president, Nikki Hawk. Nikki is a conservationist up in Mercer County and a former Ohio Farm Bureau co-worker. Nikki, good to see you again.
Good to see you as well, sir.
Also with us today is Matt Peart. He is up in Wayne County, and he is the second vice president of the Ohio Federation of Soil and Water Conservation Districts, and the guy who gets the award for traveling the farthest to be on the show today, and that is Tim Palmer, the president-elect of the National Association of Conservation Districts in from the great state of Iowa. Tim, welcome to the show, and welcome to Ohio. I hope you've been treated well since you got here.
I have been treated extremely well. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, we are very glad you could be here. So, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the issues that are going on. Tim, I want to start with you right away. Clearly, water, as you've heard, and you already knew this, is the top agenda item in Ohio. Same way in Iowa?
Water quality has been one of the really preeminent issues that we've been dealing with in Iowa for a long time, just like much of the Corn Belt. We had actually litigation that came to the forefront in the last couple of years that that really brought focus to water quality and the effect of agriculture on the water quality and one of our major water suppliers.
Yeah, it won't catch you as any surprise. We knew about that. We were paying attention. And for our listeners, again, I'll oversimplify, but basically a local water utility sued the farmers upstream for what they said were issues that were impacting the local water quality. Is that resolved, Tim, at all, that issue? Couple court decisions have been
it was not taken up into further litigation. It's going to give us an opportunity here in the future to build some relationship between that water utility, the farmers in that upper watershed, and all the partnerships that we rely on to improve that water quality.
So Matt, look at the Soil and Water District in Wayne County, where you're from, and since you're an officer in this organization, you're semi-aware of what's going on in the other 87 counties. Look at where we are today and where we might be headed tomorrow. Do you see many changes coming in organization, products, service delivery, et cetera?
Well, I don't think the organization will change a great deal. It has to stay with its grassroots backbone. But as we move forward, we're seeing more urban areas, and we need to respond to the urban needs of the state.
Hey, give me just a quick idea of something that you might have to worry about with my backyard in Westerville, Ohio, that you don't have to worry about with a farm field outside of Orville.
Well, I mean, runoff is a big issue. We need to control, the water coming off of our farm fields. And in the urban area, we have to control the water coming off of parking lots and in urban areas.
Nikki, your thoughts on what a conservation district might look like in the future? Many, many real changes?
I don't really see so many changes. What I do see is the passion that is there, both with your employees and your supervisors, the people who really care about what they're doing. And so we're all committed to conservation of natural resources. That may change what those resources are, depending on where you are in the state and what development issues and things that you're dealing with, or if you have algal blooms or whatnot. The actual issues, but the passion and drive I only see getting stronger and more forceful into the future.
So Matt, how do you bring that next generation along? How do you find those people that have the passion and the drive that Nikki just mentioned?
Well, I think we need to build partnerships with the largest youth organization in the United States, and that's the FFA. They're doing work in urban areas as well as farm communities. We need to develop those young people, because that's the future of conservation in Ohio and across the United States.
Just 30 seconds, Tim, before we have to go to break, then we'll follow up. But the things that Matt and Nikki are mentioning, are you hearing those in soil and water districts all over the country?
All over the country. They're echoing those same sentiments. We have the interface of public and the urban agriculture interface that we're going to have to take care of. We're going to have to deal with endangered species problems, and we have the capability of providing some input to the local people to take care of those.
We'll be back with more from the 75th Federation of Soil and Water Conservation District's annual meeting when we continue on Town Hall, Ohio. Those are the people that I paid to applaud. We appreciate your enthusiasm. We're recording Town Hall Ohio at the 75th Convention of the Ohio Federation of Soil and Water Conservation Districts, celebrating 75 years of putting soil and water conservation boots on the ground in Ohio and across the nation. helping us tell our story today. Tim Palmer is in from the state of Iowa. He is the president-elect of the National Association of Conservation Districts. Nikki Hawk is up in Mercer County, where she's a staff member and also is the president of the Soil and Water Conservation District's Employees Association. And Matt Peart is up in Wayne County. He's second vice president of the Ohio Federation of Soil and Water Conservation Districts. So, Matt, as you look back over your previous time and towards the future, talk to me a little bit about technology and how that is either helping you save soil and water or be a better district supervisor.
Well, technology in the farm industry has changed so much over 10 years. Where we are today and where we were 10 years ago, it's just grown so much. And with being able to do our fertilizer testing, do our field monitoring, we can adjust and put on the right rate at the right time and do a much better job.
How about with folks out your way, Tim? I don't suppose Ohio's too technologically advanced more than the state of Iowa.
I think it's pretty close. You know, we have developed a lot of processes over the past decades, changes in the way we think that we need to work to farm, and some of the technology is still catching up with what some of that technology is actually causing, some maybe causing issues. We were trying to cover large amounts of acres, you know, in a small amount of time, working in small windows of weather, and so sometimes what we do to gain that advantage is working against us a little bit, and we have to clarify that for the future.
So, Nikki, talk to me a little bit about the fact that farmers are willing to adapt, but they want to know that it's going to make a difference. This let's do something even if it's wrong doesn't work in agriculture. We need to know there are going to be results of significant changes that one of our guests pointed out earlier. It takes time to change the way you farm. Talk to me about that process that you as a district employee try to help farmers kind of get the idea, get accustomed to something new and different.
Well, one of the tools that we're able to use as conservation districts is the fact that we offer voluntary assistance to our producers. And it's really important to them that we're there as a partner to help them improve their operation and ultimately become more profitable while making less of a footprint on the environment. So we have that good relationship, and unfortunately, there are people out there who aren't doing the best that they can do. And so you have the threat always of regulation, and that threat does change some people's attitudes and ideas of what's the best way to farm on their operation. And so as you move forward, we work with people and say, okay, we anticipate that in the future you may have to do things a little bit differently, so let's sit down and come up with a plan on the best way for you to incorporate best management practices on your operation.
Tim, we're going to close with you real quick. Those of us in this business, we know what soil and water districts do, and we know what the staff does, and we know what their work with farmers and other landowners does. I'm willing to bet the general public doesn't. What's the best thing we can do to help hold up the Soil and Water District story to the public, who they're gonna vote, they're gonna buy, they're gonna make choices? What do they need to know?
Well, they need to know that soil and water conservation districts are really the heartbeat of conservation in an area, and that we do protect every inch of that landscape, whether it be in an urban setting, whether it be in a farm field. We need to not only reach out to the adults, but to the kids, and build a culture of conservation through those youngsters as they get older and understand the relationships between farming, food, and drinkable water.
Tim, Matt, Nikki, thank you. Thank to all you of our guests that were with us previously on the show today, and to all of you in this room who are supervisors, farmers, landowners, staff members, thank you for what you do protecting soil and water in the state of Ohio.
Town Hall Ohio is a project of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation and is brought to you with the support of Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Join us again next week for Town Hall Ohio.